left off enough in Vav on the days where the Gemara was discussing that very famous ultimate, which became a historic meeting between Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai and soon to be Caesar, Asosianus. Mari says that it took Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai quite some time to get out of the city, and the general came again, eventually the emperor. So he says, Asosianus says to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, he said, why did it take so long? He said, I couldn't get out because the Yonim, because the Jews who were trying to fight the Romans wouldn't let me out. So we left off right back in the middle of the conversation between Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and the Roman general. So let's pick it up from Daf Nun Vav of the days. It's seven lines from the top, the end of the line. So Amar Leih, Ilu Chavish al Dvash, the Darkon Kar Chaleh, when Shabbos and Chavish Mishul and Darkon. So he said to them, if you have a barrel of honey and there's a snake which is wrapped around the honey, and sometimes you have to break the barrel in order to get rid of the snake, what are you going to do? It's going to crush the entire barrel. So the marshal that he was trying to say to Rabbi exactly was, is that, what do you mean you couldn't get past the Bayona, the people who were the tough guys who prevented you? Should have destroyed the whole city, should have burnt the wall down, should have done whatever you can, even though it would have destroyed the barrel in the process. You got to get rid of the snake. So Ishtik. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai didn't respond. So Karolei Rabbi Yosei, then Rabbi Akiva, the two versions, who exactly said it? That Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai actually could have had a good response, but Meishik Chacham Ochum Adayat Nisakel. That sometimes the Kadosh Baruch will take the Chachamim and he'll take the words away from them, take the Chacham away from them, and he won't, he'll make them, he's a fool. He'll sometimes make even the great Chachamim appear foolish, that they don't have the proper response. What he should have said back to the station was, so he should have said that no, the response is not to knock down the entire wall, destroy the walls of the city. The proper way to get rid of this dragon is to take a tops, something like dogs, take something which is which we take an exact hit and pick up the dragon and take it away and destroy the kill the dragon and kill the snake, whatever it is, and at least the barrel will remain intact. So basically, what Rabbi should have said back to the station is that it doesn't make any sense. We should blow up the whole city. We should destroy the city to destroy the Bionim. And we're going to suffer. So you have to give us time in order to do it in a little bit more in a precise manner. Maisa, what he should have said, otherwise he didn't say. So as the whole conversation was going on, Adahochi, as they were talking grandiose and military and philosophical maneuvers outside the city, Asi Pristika Alemi Rami, a messenger came from Rome. So Amalei, they said to Vespasian, the general, Cum de Mesta Caesar, the note said, the messenger reported that the Caesar in Rome had died, the army had no Kashiv in Rome, and the Roman, Senate, whoever was in charge of making the decisions in Rome, the Osnach Bereisha. You were elected to take over. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Ruach HaKodesh, he had told Vespasian that he's going to become the emperor, and in fact, come true. Having Siam Chad Basani, at that moment in time when the general, now became emperor, was receiving that news, he was wearing one shoe, he was putting his boots on. So he was trying to put a second boot on at that time. Lo ayom, it didn't go, wouldn't go on. Second boot wouldn't go on. So he tried to take off the first boot, but nothing. So the boot wouldn't come off. So he couldn't understand. All of a sudden his feet had swollen, and he couldn't, his boots didn't fit. So Amar Nayai. So he said to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what's going on? All of a sudden, I got good news, and now my boots don't fit. I'm a lay, low to the star. He said, don't worry about it. Shmuel Tov Asilach. He said, because you got good news. Shmuel Tov to Dash Etem. The Pesach Mishlei says, when you hear good news, so your bones start to expand. You swell up a little bit. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, so now what do I do? I got to get on a boat called Rome, only wearing one boot. So what do I do exactly? So So he said to him, Rabbi Zakkai said, find somebody you don't like, the lichlof kamach, and let him walk in front of you. So he said the same way the pasuk says that good news is going to make you expand, bad news is going to make you shrink a little bit. So he did like that, and kachava. In fact, the foot went back into the place, and the boot came off. So Amalei, he was patient, said to Rabbi Zakkai, He said, "You guys, you're so smart. You have all this grandiose secret knowledge. So ada in that my So he said, "Why couldn't you figure it out until now to come to me? Why'd you wait? Somebody have this siege enough for years. Why'd you wait so long to come?" So Amalei, so Rabbi Zakkai said, "Well, I'm Ibach. I told you why I didn't come. That was the first. That was Monday's conversation. I told you I couldn't come because of the snakes, i.e., because of the Miryonim." Amalei. So the Rishpeish said back to him, "Ananami Amalach." He said that I already refuted your argument. I already told you that was a terrible excuse. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai is still getting attacked by the Roman. Why didn't come earlier? So Amalei, bottom line is, so the Vespasian calmed down a little bit. So he said, "Mezel Azilna." So he said, I got to go to Rome. He said, I don't got time for you guys with boots and the snakes right now. He said, I got to get off the Rome and go take over my job. He said, "I'm going to send somebody else who's going to take over my position." So as he's heading off to Rome, so he says to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, "Tell me something that you want." He said, "Oh, I'll grant you a wish." He said, "Tell me what I can do for you." So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai responded with the words that ultimately changed Jewish history. So grant me Yavne and its Chachamim. So Yavne was already a small town that had already began to take over in terms of the next generation to become the Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that even before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, so Sanhedrin left the Beis Hamikdash and they were in Yerushalayim and other places. And for a long period of time, they ended up in Yavne. And a lot of the work that we have of the previous nights, a lot of the work of the Tanoim, the days of Gamliel, Lezer, Yeshua, Akiva, Zai, all those Tanoim, who were the Tanoim, the Rebbeim of those who really, in a sense, put together the background for the Mishnah, the whole generation of Tanoim, they all came from the city of Yavne. They all learned in the Shiva Yavne when Israel was in Yavne. So the Yom Zach, I realized that that's going to be the issue. That's going to be where the future class is going to be in the Kach of Torah. So he said, "Please give me a little favor. I'm not asking for so much. I'm just asking for Yavne Chachamel." I still remember the Kerbi Yavne video. We used to always start with that line. We used to have a picture of the Shiva in the Tzal and Golden, you know, sitting by Hishtender in Beis Medrash. Then there would be a big page in the Gemara Gittin that it would zero, you know, focus on. I would have those words, "Tein the Yavne Chachamel." That was the PR for the Yeshiva. So Chachamel, the Spacian granted that wish. And of course, we have the whole Tashma Peh with us today because of that wish. And then the two other requests that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai made that were perhaps less popular in years to come, the Shoshulta the Rabbi Gamliel. He asked that the Nesios of Rabbi Gamliel, was a descendant of Hillel, ultimately descendants of David HaMelech, so that position of authority in the Jewish people, the chain of Rabbi Gamliel should remain as well. The Romans shouldn't decide to knock that entire dynasty out of commission. Yeah, and in fact, they did let it remain to a certain extent, but even to the days of Yudanossi and beyond. So that chain of authority did remain in Eretz Yisrael to see him. And he asked also for a doctor, some kind of medicine to heal Rabbi Tzadok. Remember, we're going to discuss a little bit more about it. Rabbi Tzadok was, we mentioned a little bit earlier, Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen, he lived at the end of Ba'isheni, and he foresaw that the Chum is going to come, and he accepted upon himself tidiness for 40 years. He was fasting all the time to prevent the Chorban. Eventually, he got very, very sick from all those fasts. And one of the last things would be up with Zachar, yes, his patience, let me at least have somebody who can help you, Rabbi Tzadok. Correlator of Yosef, then Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yosef, or some say Rabbi Akiva, quite a span of years between those two versions. But some say, one of them said about Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's request that they were really a mistake. That Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai did was not correct. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Chochma of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai at that moment. He bought the Memelish, Giru Chana Zimna. If he already had the Spacian's ear, he should have asked for something much, much more dramatic. He should have asked for the Beis HaMikdash. He should have said, "Let the Romans leave and leave us alone and let us keep the Beis HaMikdash." Who saw Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had a calculation? Duma kulei lo avin. He said he is afraid he wasn't going to give that. He's going to ask them, the Romans, to get lost, to go back to Rome and leave the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't think that was going to be successful, and then he ended up with nothing. That's all important. Avin lo avin. And then it'll end up not even with a small salvation. So he made a calculated decision. He's not going to ask for too much, because he didn't think it was realistic. He's going to ask for the three things, which in fact he did receive. What is that the doctor, the medicine that was referred to before about healing Rabbi Tzadok? So Yom Kama, so what they used to do Rabbi Tzadok is Ashkiru Bayi Deparim. They used to give him water that was soaked with sugar and bran. And the next day they would give him something. The first thing was very, very liquidy. Then they would give him something a little bit more solid. So Rashi explains that there was some flour that was mixed in. Eventually it was more water, more, a little bit more flour. Until his intestines began to become a little bit more opened up. Purta. Yeah, I guess we can defer to some of the experts here about this. And does that? I mean, I guess you have a liquid diet. I guess we would call that today the equivalent of a liquid diet first, or whatever that means.
Is Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Kiva's rebuttal to Rabbi Yochanan something that is accepted, or is, you know, it's a
day off? I mean, it sounds like Gemara almost presented Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh as the final word. Because Rabbi Yochanan rebuts the rebuttal. Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh, in effect, Gemara explains why he did what he did. It kind of makes a lot of sense. You know, it's the road not taken in history. We don't know what would have happened if he would have asked for the next victim. So maybe he would have got it for a short amount of time.
The fact that Gemara puts in the rebuttal itself, that it was a legitimate point, or like wasn't even a legitimate point. I mean, is this like?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know. It's very, very hard to know. It's very hard to derive anything. I got it. It's very, very hard to understand. Like the Rambam writes down. Certain agadas are absolutely literal. Certain agadas are more figurative. So I don't know the issue with the shoes and not the shoes. Was that literal? Was that figurative? Was that the mushroom something? Mushroom. Rambam writes that a lot of these things we don't quite understand. And many of the mafarshim explain that we have a clear cut mesorah about how to learn, you know, the halachic parts of the Gemara. We have shiny, hard enough. A lot of statements that I got, we don't really have such a clear mesorah exactly what they're all about. So we read them, go through them, but we try to extract whatever we can from them. But it's not always so easy to pinpoint what the meaning of any given statement is. I'm not sure if that's the answer.
Is there any significance to the factor of wisdom exactly the first time that I guess that he said he didn't respond properly.
Right.
Is there any significance to that other than to show that he had already lost part of his ability to respond?
So maybe.
I mean, the second time
I've seen
it, the first time.
So right, he kind of lost, right? He should have said something better, right? Right, right. Yeah. He just wasn't, whatever it is, because Rahul took him, gave him that, if you want to put it into a more, so to speak, a more. More modern, kind of you can imagine the tension, the anxiety. You can imagine, what's going on here. Rabbi Yochanan was just taken out of the city. He thought he was going to get killed by the Biyonim on the way. He's standing in front of the Roman Emperor. Everything is hinging upon him. So, so it's not so easy to think clearly under these circumstances.
Like, let's say he would have answered the answer that
right. Close. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to know. It's hard to know what. I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. So the Gemara goes finished up with the Rabbi Tzadok's medicines. The Rabbi Bar-Bar-Mah, first, then his intestines start to open up a little bit. Also, Shadrach Titi. Now the Gemara goes back to the story about Aspasianus. So Vespasian goes off in a boat, goes back to Rome to become Caesar, and he sends someone by the name of Titus, so Titus, him who we know much about, but Omar. So Titus said, "Hey, Kebetzur Chasayuba, that the passage that says in Hazinu." Where is, it's not even clear what that pasuk is talking about. It's talking about Hashem, it's talking about Zorah. Where is the God, so to speak? So Zez Titus HaRosha. So that pasuk is referring to Titus, Shechira Fegidef Fabimala, that he was blasphemous when he comes into the Beis HaMikdash. So we're all familiar with the famous Kiddush that describes this in a very horrific detail, that he was blasphemous and cursing when he comes into the Beis HaMikdash. Ma'asa, the toughest zone of the Yodos, he takes his own with him, and Nichlas Beis Kachek Kedoshim. And he goes into the Kachek Kedoshim, Tzias Timitara, he throws the baton to the floor, and he does his mezana, literally in the Kedush HaKadoshim. Benatol Sayef, and he takes a sword, the Gidus HaParochas, and he starts to cut the Parochas, and as an ace, and a miracle happens, So it starts, the parochas starts to bleed. The blood starts to burst out, to bubble out from the parochas. So Titus thought that he had killed, here it says, it's Atzma, it's a euphemism, he's referring to the Rabban Shalom. It's Titus saying, I beat him, I killed him. So he says, what he did, the blood of the basic Mikdash, Shinemar, Shagut Sarecha, Bekerem, Maedecha, Samos, Samos, Samos. The Pasuk says in Dillim that your enemies were screaming inside your places. They were screaming all the terrible blasphemous comments. Abachanan Omer Mika Mocha Chasimka Mika Mocha Chasim Bekasha Tashon Yutzav Yiduf Shalos Rosh Hashem Sek. So Abachanan said on the Pasuk in Dillim that who is like your Kadosh Baruch Hu was so powerful that only someone of your power, your might, can withstand this attack and not respond. It's like somebody insults you, so it's a sign of strength to walk away. I lower myself to talk to this person. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Titus, I'm not even going to time of the day to respond to what you just said." Today, Rabbi Shmuel taught it. Rabbi Shmuel, the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they taught a similar lesson based on another pasuk. Mikamocha ba'ilim Hashem, mikamocha ba'ilmim. That Elim was like a play on the word Ilmim. Elim means someone doesn't talk. So Rav Shalom made himself like someone like mute. Rav Shalom said, I'm not going to answer Titus. Ma'osav, so what did Titus do at the end? Not less of a reiches. So he wraps up, takes the reiches. But so, come in, Gagusti. He wraps it up like a big bag, like a big sack. Evi kol kerem shem mikdash. He takes all the kerem of the base of mikdash. He nichon bahen. And he throws them all into the reiches. The Hoshiva, the Svina, takes it in a boat. Lelech, the Mishtabach, the Iro. He's going to go back to the city, all right, back to Rome. We're going to show off all the Kalim that he had. So here we don't need evidence to support what the Gemara says, but we have evidence to support what the Gemara says. So, of course, the Arch of Titus, which still stands to this very day, so it's an absolute physical evidence. It's exactly what happened. That Titus came, and basically, you can see the Kalim. You know, it's such chokhmah to figure out. You can see the menorahs very clearly. You can see the chatzotos very clearly. The Kalim in the background. So that's exactly what Chazal described when he made his parade through the streets of Rome. In Tishvah Mashul, I always tell over the story when we say that kiddah about Titus. So I always tell over the story how Rav Kahaneman, Shimon Panovich was destroyed during the war, and then he rebuilt it in Beirut after the war. So when he was, he had to visit Europe to do some fundraising, so he ended up in Italy. And he told his driver that before he goes to his hotel, he has to go to the Arch of Titus first. In the middle of the night, he comes to the Arch of Titus, and he looks up the Arch of Titus, and he says that Titus, says Titus. He said, remember, I have to settle the score from 2,000 years ago. You tried to destroy us. I just want to tell you some news. That I'm a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews are back. And they're learning Torah from Abraham now. And he said, where are you and where am I? That was his response back to Titus. So it's usually at that point when either a census or cold, the shul ever happens to be any given in Tisha B'Av. They always tell over the follow up to that story. So I'm not comparing myself to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, to Rabbi Kahneman, but about 10 years ago, so I was in Berlin saying shiurim for a whole group of Tamil and Yeshiva there so for a couple of days. So I was with Rabbi Berg, Steve Berg, his father, Shalom Albert. So we were in Berlin on Friday afternoon. One of the Bachar of Yeshiva was a shtickle tour guide. So he was giving us a little bit of a tour of Berlin. So he showed us the place where Hitler Mafro, his bunker was. Literally, he's standing on there. It's like a regular street in the middle of Germany. And he said, if you go down 500 feet, this is Mamush where this is where Nazis are. I mean, whatever. I don't know how far it was. But I'm going to say a thing. His bunker was on the ground right here. This is where it all ended. So Rabbi Berg's father said to me at the time, he said, Rabbi Zolovsky, tell them down there in Gehenna, tell them you're a maggot shiur and you came to Berlin to say shiur, but they should know that you still that the shiur being given in Berlin. So he told me to say that. I remember the story of Rav Kahneman. So I said over the same. I always stay over at Tishba for two stories together. Anyway, so Shinemar, Uvechein Reisi Rishon Kavurim, Ubo, Uvechem Kadosh Aleichu, Vishtachu Beir. Asher Kain Asu. So Pasuk in Kehelet, that a little bit of a different meaning, but the Gemara says, Al Tikre Kavurim El Kavutzim. It's referring to the gathered together, the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Al Tikre Vishtachu El Vishtabchu. So read the Pasuk after saying Vishtabchu, that they're praising themselves, they're running a victory parade. Ika the Amri Kavurim Amish, and some say that the Pasuk means literally the hidden treasures. The Filumil, the Mitbaranig Lai alone. that they dump up stuff that was hidden away in the treasure house of the Beis HaMikdash. They took everything. So the bottom line is Titus and his soldiers are returning back to Rome. So there was a big storm out at sea that almost drowned him. So Omar, so Titus wasn't fazed. He said, "Kibdumani." Said, "It appears to me shalakim shalelu ein guraso ela b'mayim that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem of the Jewish people, so he only knows how to fight in the water. So bo paro tavimayim. He has a reputation for doing battle in water. Paro he drowns in the water, but sister tavimayim he fought sister with water. Afu woman alai tavani b'mayim." So Tita says, "Hey, there's old stuff ready. He's coming out to fight me in the water." In Gibaru, Titus is blasphemy. He says that the Shem is so powerful, Yale Liabosha, let him fight, you know, like a man, let him get on the ground, let's duel it out. Yasi mi milchama, he should fight me on the ground itself. So the Yotz the Mask of Amrlo. So a voice came out of heaven and said, Russia, then Minosha, Esav Russia. He said, the Russia, the son of the Russia, the great grandson of whatever, of Ace of a Russia, the descendants that the Chazal speak about, Rome being, certain sense, descendants of Ace of. So, Berek Tane Yeshiv, I love it. He said, "Listen, I have a little creature in my world for you to Shema, like a little mosquito or something, it's a little bug. So, my curl of Berek Kala, why is it called like a light kind of a bug? That kind of a creature, the Ma'ala is the name of God, Leisla." He said, "It somehow it eats and doesn't seem to appear to ever to get rid of what it eats." So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Okay, I'm going to send my guy out to fight you." What's my guy? A little cartoon by nothing thing. Oli Abasha. So by Yitush Rinichas Bechaytman. He said, "This little Yitush, a little mosquito or something, goes into his nose." And it pecked away at his inside his brain for 7 years. Yom Achad, he was going nuts, he was going crazy. He took this from all the what's going on inside his head. Yom Achad, have a chalif above the minavcha. One day he was walking past a blacksmith, Shama Kal Azafta, and when he heard the banging of the blacksmith, it's Ishtik, so somehow he calmed down. So the quiet and whatever was going on inside his brain. Again, they're also, yeah, it's hard to know. It might be literally a physical thing. It might be that Baruch Hu made him move those body, when he gave him something wrong in his brain. I'm not sure exactly what, because I'll describe it in the Lashonos of what's going on. So Amar Ikatakanta. So Titus realized that when the blacksmith is banging away, so that's keeping him calm. So Yoma Maisa Navcha Umachu Kamei. So he hired a blacksmith. So and the blacksmith would bang, would make noise all the time. If it happened to be that day, it was a Goyish blacksmith. You pay him for his work before Zuzu. The Israel, someone's going to find the Goyish. The Jewish blacksmith in Rome. So he said, "I'm going to let the stack of Chazas Pesanach." He said, "For you're getting paid well enough by watching your enemy suffer. I don't have to bother paying you. You're getting rewarded." Atlas and Yomim for 30 days of Anachi. So for 30 days, this work. The Kadva Eilach came to Dosh. Eventually, even this stopped working. And, I guess the mosquito got used to the noise and continued pecking away. He said, "I was there by the Romans. Ukshemes, when he died, so Potsu es Mocho. So they opened up his brain, they opened up his head to see what was going on inside. Matzibor could see for a drawer, Mishkal Shnei Slayim. It felt like a bird inside that weighed 2 Slayim. The Masni Satana and the Bryce and Labyrinth, it goes open shutters like the size of a day old. It's fascinating. Believe it or not, there's no bug walking right down my Gemara right now. I'm not joking. I don't know if it's a Gilgul from Titus, a little ant just walked right down my Gemara. So Ukshemes, Potsu es Mechon. When he died, they found him. I skipped the line. He goes with Shana Mishkan Shnei Litrit, and it weighed 2 liters. Amr Abaye Naktina, and we have a tradition. Piv Shal Nechoshes, Mitziparnav Shal Barzel. Its mouth was copper, and its nails were iron. So again, whatever all this means, it's hard for you to know. But the bottom line is, that's what it sounds. That pashtus, that's the way in medicine. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara is describing. So Kiyav Kabayas, when he died, so Amalahu, you allow Gavra. So he said that he didn't want his body to be around. As he was dying, he said he wanted his body to be burned. He said that they should scatter his ashes throughout the seven seas. That Hashem shouldn't find him. He realized that maybe he talked a little bit too much. The Lord maybe needed to be afraid that Hashem was going to find him somewhere and bring him to justice. So the answer is Hashem did find him and did bring him to justice, but he thought that he would somehow evade further justice by having his body burnt and cremated and being spread throughout the oceans. So that's the end not really the end of the Titus, so it's a little bit more than what's going to reference. But that's the end of Titus, at least in this world. Then the Gemara is going to tell another story where somebody needs to converse with Titus after his death and hear what his contribution to the world is at that point. So we'll stop you up with next time. We'll continue this. It's very fascinating.